Prepare anything from Vayikra today, so I'm just what's on my mind for Pesach. I'm starting to prepare for Pesach, so I'm starting to try to read parts of the Pesach story that, you know, are not the central parts, but trying to understand them a little bit better. So in Parshas Vayera, when Moshe and Aaron return to Paro, so Hashem tells them that he'll ask you for a mofes, he'll ask you for some sign. Now, what sign does Moshe perform? Well, it's actually Aaron, which is interesting. It's not Moshe. And Aaron throws his staff on the ground. The staff becomes a tanim. And then Paro recreates the experience. He calls this mechashvim. They create the experience. But then Aaron's mata swallows all of their matot. Sounds like the stick is actually swallowing the stick. And unfortunately, Paro is unswayed. So it's interesting to me, first of all, why this is important. Like, Paro will be unswayed by 10 makos. We want to see the 10 makos. Why is this documented? What's happening here? And specifically, of all the three signs that Moshe had in his arsenal, why did he choose the staff turning into a snake sign? He could have chosen the water turning into blood sign, which we'll do in a moment. He could have chosen the Mitzvah sign. He's just trying to impress Paro. Why the stick and the staff? So what's the purpose of this whole story? Why are Moshe and Aaron there? Why the swallowing? Why the staff? So if you look carefully, and Chazal already senses, I'm amplifying on Chazal, there are two or three shout-outs in this story to Gan Eden, to the story in Sefer Bereishis. There are two or three shout-outs. The obvious shout-out is that the palace of Paro is filled with snakes. And that's Chazal already sensed the Nachash from Gan Eden returning into the palace of Paro. The second shout-out is that when Paro tries to recreate through his magicians, what does it say? Vayasu gamheim chartumim mitzrayim. Well, we've seen the chartumim before, and we'll see them again. But what's the word that appears? It's a very odd word. It doesn't appear too often in Tanakh. Belahatehem. With their lahat. Does anyone know where this word appears before in Tanakh? Belahatehem. Et lahat hacherev hamisapeches. This was the sword, the swirling sword that was magical that kept Adam from returning to Gan Eden. The third shout-out that Chazal sends is that when Moshe first performs this miracle, it's actually Aaron, Vayikra Gam Paro. What does it mean, Vayikra Gam Paro lechachamim v'lemechashvim? Vayikra Paro lemechashvim. It should have been Vayikra Paro, or Vayikra Paro Gam, not Vayikra Gam Paro. The words are off. So Chazal associate this with Vatikra. The Lashon of the Pasuk is Vatitain Gam Leisha. Another time with the word Gam, seems a little bit awkward grammatically. But she should have given it to her husband. Chava gave the fruit to her husband, not Titin. Who else did she give it to? But Titin Gam Lisha. Obviously, it's a reference to herself, but Gam would mean I gave it to Moshe and I also gave it to Mark. If I just give something to Moshe, I give it to Mark. So there are three moments in this whole story that sound very Gan Eden like. Namely, the palace is filled with Nechashim. Number two, there is magic that's being performed. Number three, there are two units, and Chazal actually say that Paro gave to his wife. The wife actually started the mocking of Moshe, then called Paro. She performed this literally the same structure as Gan Eden, where the woman sins first and then tries to convince the man or white husband Paro, oh, our Mechashvim can do it also. And what's happening here? Why are we returning to Gan Eden? Why is this story Gan Eden like? I'm just describing that the moment that Moshe and Aaron come to Paro, there are a lot of parallels to Gan Eden. The La Tehem, the Nechashim, Vayitin Gam Paro. This is the beginning of Am Yisrael's emancipation from Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose Am Yisrael as his people to deliver the Torah to. Now, that creates an inner natural tension. I'm reading a lot of Rif Sacks, and I see some other people reading Rif Sacks also, between, well, on the one hand, we were selected, and we are Hashem's people, and we will receive the Torah. On the other hand, we have a universalist mission to spread Torah and to spread the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And how you balance between those two poles is really, to me, the test of Jewish identity in the modern world. To be able to not abrogate your national identity in the sense of Amma Nivchar, in the sense that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you Torah and you should invest massively. But on the other hand, after 2,000 years of living very parochial, it's hard to remember our universalist calling. And this actually reminded us about universalist calling. And there's a lot of radicalization, even in the Jewish world. People that are ultra-universalists, who don't have that sense of being chosen, and there are people who are ultra-nationalists, who don't have that sense of responsibility. And there's a tension, and now there's going to be one people that's going to be taken as a Kodesh Baruch Hu's people at the expense of the rest of humanity. There's going to be an expense paid here. So essentially what this section does is it highlights, yeah, but humanity isn't ready to accept a Kodesh Baruch Hu. and the failure of Adam Arishon in Gan Eden is still just like Adam couldn't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden, Paro can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is not the last chance for humanity to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but this is just reminding the audience, the Jewish audience, that unfortunately, the original plan where all of humanity is exposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that plan failed thousands of years earlier, and unfortunately, man has descended into slavery, oppression, witchcraft, magic, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Paro one last chance, Paro says, Mi Hashem Asher Shema Bekolo. Paro calls his wife calls Paro to mock, same way that Adam and Chava sin, and the palace is full of nechashim, and magic which had kept people out of Gan Eden in the beginning of Bereishis still keeps people out of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the mechashvim are performing balat to him. So this is just saying, this shift in history that will ultimately culminate in Parshas Yisro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appear to Am Yisrael, this shift is necessary, because what happened in Bereishis unfortunately still hasn't been repaired. Human beings haven't been able to repair that. It's still the failure of Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we read about in the Avodah of Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of man, but now to choose a select group of people in order to advance the human condition, because if he doesn't, humanity will still remain in that fallen state post-Gan Eden. That's what I think is happening in that section. I think it's fascinating. Chazal already sensed it. They didn't amplify it this way. To me, I think I still haven't worked this out. It's still a work in progress. I think this is why the staffs are so important, the matot. Why the matot so important in this section? This is really the main scene of the matot. Why the matot so important here? Why the matot swallow the matot? My sense is that it's parallel to the Eitz Hadas and the Eitz Hachayim. It's that men took from the Eitz Hadas, and that was the failure, and now the Eitz Hadas is being repaired, but it's not moral truth, Tov Vara, it's supernatural truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is delivering some supernatural staff that now you're taking with you to Eretz Yisrael, back to that Gan Eden, which isn't just a natural Gan Eden, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen Eretz Zavas Chalav V'Devash, and I believe that's the fourth element that links us back to Gan Eden, and I believe, I haven't proven this yet, that's why it's important that Aaron's Mata swallows their Mata. It's not just showing that my matah is stronger. I'm showing my matah was stronger, it would break the matah out, or it would burn the matah out. And it's clear that it's not the snakes that are swallowing the snakes, as we've always thought. The literal reading is the matah out is swallowing the matah out. So essentially, this voyage to Israel is symbolically a voyage for all of humanity. All the matah make it to Israel. All the matah are making it to the promised land. All the matah are making it to that ideal world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was building in place of Gan Eden, where human beings fell out of. So when that matah transfers to Moshe, transfers to Yeshua, they cross the Yarding, then ultimately it's a matah that has absorbed all the other matot, and we are now absorbing the rest of humanity and trying to take them to a better place. So I'm still working this, but I believe that's what this section is trying to evoke. Otherwise, it's just an unnecessary section. Why does he perform that miracle? So I want to share a little bit of my Pesach thoughts. But you know, what we talked about, this going to offer.